Obsessed. Obsessed. Obsessed with Joseph Scrimshaw.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Obsessed with Joseph Scrimshaw. In just a few moments, we'll be talking with our guest, Jeremy Messersmith, about his obsession with mushroom hunting. But first, I would like to tell you about one of my more shameful obsessions, and that is a game called Words with Friends. By applause, how many people here are familiar with Words with Friends? If you're not familiar with Words with Friends, it is a game that you can play on Facebook or your smartphone, and it really shouldn't be called Words with Friends. It should be called, like, a barely legal ripoff of Scrabble with strangers from the internet. And I like this game for a lot of reasons. One of them is that it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And like almost anything that I'm not supposed to be doing, if somebody came to me and said, we'll give you like $60,000 a year to just play Words with Friends for 8 hours a day, I probably wouldn't want to do that because then it would be like something I have to do. And I like doing things that I'm really not supposed to be doing. I also like Words with Friends in that it's very different from Scrabble because when you're playing Scrabble with, you know, an actual live human being, they can see you attempt to play words. But in Words with Friends, you can try any number of stupid, non-existent words, and nobody knows that you're, you know, trying to play XYJ, because who knows, maybe it's a word. Maybe the thing will just accept that. And so in an effort to kind of try to make some of my time with Words with Friends a little bit more productive, I have decided that if I'm going to try to play a ridiculous word, that I'm at least going to make up a definition for myself. So if the person messaged me back and says, what the hell is that? I can have like a quick response. And my vocabulary of fake words is growing. Some of my favorite fake words, one of them is porgle. And it is P-O-R-G-L-E. And that means to eat pork too quickly. So I've seen that happen to people. I've seen people porgle themselves. One of my other favorite words is irvat. That's I-R-E-V-A-T. And that is the container in which Scottish people brew hate. Without an irvat, the Scottish people would have no knowledge of the emotion hate. So that's a pretty important word. And then my other favorite word is flughole. And this is very important to me because I'm an uncle. And uncles flughole a lot. Flughole is F-L-U-G and then, you know, hole. And flughole is specifically the face you make when you just barely stop yourself from swearing in front of a child. I flughole all the time. So I've learned a lot from Words with Friends. I've learned to increase my vocabulary into the non-existent. And I've also learned that I just really like to waste my time doing almost non-productive things and then torturing myself to try to make it productive. So I invite you all to raise your glasses and join me in a toast to my obsession with Words with Friends. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Jeremy Messersmith. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. So for anyone who doesn't know who you are, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name's Jeremy, and I'm a singer-songwriter. I live here in town, and I make records, I play shows, I teach music a bit, and that's about all there is to me as a human being, I think.
Yeah, so I've kind of got to meet you and know you as your career's going quite well. I would say you're nationally known.
Yeah, I'd say, like, you know, in like a certain like street in Cleveland, or maybe in like one suburb of D.C. Yeah, sure.
But your music has been used for big national things, right?
Yeah, every once in a while it'll pop up on like a TV show or a commercial or something
right. Like
that.
Yeah, that's like kind of big.
Yeah, I just found out that one of my songs is being put in a Norwegian commercial.
Oh, wow.
I guess. I don't know what it's for, so I don't know what I'm selling, but...
you know what song it is, right?
Yeah.
So what's the song?
It's a song called Violet off of my last record. It's kind of like a happy little number.
So are they using it just... Are they buying the track and using it with your vocals, or is it going to be like a weird Norwegian translation of your song?
I think it's me singing it, although that would be awesome if they had like some Norwegian pop star come in and like sing the song with translated lyrics, like that Beatles what's the Beatles song where they sing in German? Is it I Wanna Hold Your Hand, or does anyone know what that is?
I Wanna Buy You a Coke or what? Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, but it's really funny because you hear the Beatles singing in German.
Cool. So how did you, I'm kind of curious, because from my perspective, I've caught up with your career when I think you're successful.
Sure.
So how did you start out? Did you mostly kind of play gigs around town?
Yeah. How did I start out? Well, I went to school for music here, and then I kind of started playing I had like a band. And we would go play in like Fargo every once in a while, or we would play like sports bars a lot.
Okay.
And we would do, you know, mainly cover songs. Then I'd sneak in like an original or two. And then somebody stole my minivan. And then I was like, well, I'm a solo artist now. So so I started. No, seriously, I started playing coffee shops at that point. I was like, I can't haul around a drum kit anymore, so just an acoustic guitar and all.
So what, your bandmates were in the van when it was stolen? So just like, bye, guys. Well, I assume you've been murdered.
It was actually like a 1-2 punch of the van got stolen, and then like the very next week, the drummer was like, hey, my wife and I are pregnant.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, I guess this is the end of the band.
So things actually got better for you when you got rid of all that dead weight?
Well, it got a lot worse for a long, long time. Before it maybe got better, you know, it was, playing at just lots and lots of open mics and coffee shops and,
cool.
and that kind of thing. And I remember actually just kind of sitting around and being all depressed and like, oh, what am I doing with my life? And then my then girlfriend at the time like booking shows for me just to get me out of the house, which was very nice.
So what I'm always curious as a comedian, what the experience is like for a musician. Like obviously a musician wants to have an engaged audience, and that's the best, right? But you can function just sort of crooning in the corner. Like you can't quietly do comedy in the corner. I mean, you can, but it's not only depressing for you. You'll get like arrested and shit because you'll look insane.
It's always funny to me because I've always kind of looked at comedians and been like, you know, they say that you have to do something for like 10,000 hours to get good at it, you know.
Right.
But I'm like, if you're a comedian, that means like you have to just bomb in front of people for like weeks, like months on end, just continually.
The comedians try to get all those hours. Once. Like if I can bomb 24 hours straight, I can clean up some of that time.
Yeah, something like that. For musicians, it's maybe a little different because I don't know. Like, I never really expected people half the time to, you know, listen or whatever. You know, just drink your beer and, you know, talk or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of fine. Whereas, you know, if you're a comedian, I would think you want people's rapt attention all the time. You know?
Well, I mean, you know. Yeah. You want all the rapt attention, obviously, but there's also just like I always want to be gentle about not sounding offensive to musicians. Like you could just stand in your corner and make your music and it's fine. But yeah, I mean, there's often a narrative to even a stand-up comedian who does like one-liners, it's hard to come in and out of the middle of it.
Yeah.
So there's that. So you built a lot of your fan base by doing those coffeehouse gigs, though, right?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, it was basically like any friends that I could convince to come to the show, and then maybe like every show there would be like one random person that just happened to be there trying to study in the corner, and then that was, you know, the person that I would hopefully pull in. So
nice.
I probably did that for, I don't know, like a year
or
something like that, playing like a few times a month at coffee shops and trying out songs. But it was a good experience to just... You know, there's no real way to find out if a song works.
Right.
I'm assuming it's the same
thing
with a joke. Like, you don't really know if it works. I mean, you know that it could maybe work, but you don't know if it works until...
But you don't know, I think for both musicians and comedians, you don't know not only until you do it for an audience, but also just until you do it for yourself, and how does it feel for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So your obsession that we're here to talk about tonight is mushroom hunting.
Yeah, mushroom hunting. Yeah. Any mushroom hunters out there? Sorry, I'm going to pull up a cricket sound on my phone and play that.
So you offered me a couple of different obsessions.
Yeah, well, when you emailed me about the show, I was very excited about it because I was like, that's what I do. I obsess about things. Like, I mentioned it to my wife, Vanessa, and she was like, well, which one are you going to pick? Like, out of life, there's so many obsessions you could possibly choose from. So, yeah, tonight, mushroom hunting. Yeah.
So I asked Jeremy to try to do mushroom hunting because I was the most interested in that.
Yeah.
Because I know nothing about it.
It seems like the less done, and oddly enough, neither do I, which is, I'm lucky to be alive.
Okay, so when did you start hunting the mushroom?
I think it was 3 years ago now.
Okay.
And, you know, I guess I assume people went and hunted mushrooms. I'd heard of, like, mushroom, mushroom hunting.
They got to be caught somehow, right?
Right, yeah. I'd heard of, like, mushroom hunting pigs or something like that, you know? But I didn't really know.
What is a mushroom hunting pig? Is that a pig you train to hunt?
Yeah,
mushroom?
it's a pig that is used to hunt truffles.
Oh, okay.
And you can train either pigs or dogs, and I guess dogs are preferred because the moment the pigs find a truffle, they immediately eat it. So you want to get a dog eventually, but apparently it's you know it's a bit of work to train a dog to do
okay.
it. And truffles aren't really grown in the U.S. Very well either, so it ends up being kind of a European thing.
So how did you find it? How did it come to your attention?
I had run across some morel mushrooms in I think just our grocery store or something, and I thought, oh, that's cool. I think it was. I
was expecting to be like a walk in the wild, like I'm gonna go hunt mushroom at the grocery store.
This is the best place to hunt them, oddly enough. I've had many a hunt where I've been out looking for mushrooms and then you know, screw it. Let's just go to the store and pick up some mushrooms.
Put on my gear and go to Kowalski's.
No, but I'd seen them, and they just look really weird. They're like these kind of like honeycomb things. Like they're just
like the stems are honeycombed.
Yeah, kind of. They have like a stalk and then like a honeycomb
kind of
thing. They're just strange. And I remember reading like about them. You know, cause I'm a bit of like an amateur cook. I occasionally do like obsessive cooking binges into different things and. I was like, well, I'll pick them up and try them. So, you know, I Google how to cook a morel mushroom, and then I ate it, and it was delicious. it was amazing. It was like nutty and kind of like just great.
Yeah.
And it led me to like, well, I should really get some more of these. And why are these so fucking expensive? These are like, it's like $10 for like a little like.
Okay,
these morel mushrooms.
Because they're exotic, right? They're hard to find.
Yeah, well, it turns out they're impossible to cultivate. Like, you can't grow them in a mushroom factory. They can only be foraged because they require old growth forests.
They're like free spirit mushrooms.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I really want to get some more of these, so I should, like, go morel hunting. And so I went out with a couple friends and we didn't find anything.
How did you pitch that to people? Like, let's go hunt morel. Like, well, you must have done some more research other than just like, well, we're in South Minneapolis, let's start looking. I mean,
no, that was about it. That was. I think I was like, hey, anybody want to go morel hunting on Facebook? And a few friends were like, yeah, sure, let's do it. I've always wanted to go. I love morels. And so we kind of like, tramped around and we just kind of like. In the woods and poked mushrooms with sticks.
But, like, what woods? Where did you, where, I mean,
I think we went to, what's the, what park was
it
that we went to?
Oh, like the parkway?
Yeah, right along, oh, no, we didn't go to Theater Worth. That would have been much better, actually. It was just along the river, like Fort Snelling.
Okay.
And apparently they do have morels there, too, but maybe not as many. But
so did you find them on that first outing?
No, we didn't find any, sadly. But it kind of got me hooked in thinking about, more mushrooms, and then I was kind of gone most of the summer touring, so I didn't have a chance to go look for morels. The morel season is actually really short. It's maybe like 6 weeks usually, sometimes I mean, more or less depending on the weather, but
okay.
But it's pretty small.
So did you have you gotten into other mushrooms then?
Yeah, it was like my gateway into other mushrooms.
So morel is a gateway mushroom.
Okay. Yeah, for me it was. But turns out there's actually like a ton of edible mushrooms, which are all delicious, that grow all over me.
See, because I would just, I want to be careful about what I eat, and I would be just frightened of random mushrooms and my own ability to find them, that they wouldn't, like, because a lot of them are like poisonous, right?
Yeah, they'll kill you. Yeah, there's like this saying that gets passed around in the mushroom hunting community. First off, like all the mushroom people that I end up meeting are just fucking weird. Like they're just really, really weird people. They're just strange. Yeah. So I remember telling someone about just, it. Like, you know, you find out somebody else is a mushroom hunter. I remember somebody just going, "Wow, you know what they say about mushroom hunters?" And I was like, "No, what do they say about mushroom hunters?" And they were like, "There are old mushroom hunters and there are bold mushroom hunters, but there are no old bold mushroom hunters." So you apparently just have to be very, very careful when you're out there picking stuff. And probably the best way is if you go out with somebody to the forest who knows what they're doing. And in addition to having a bunch of books, which I picked up.
So do you feel like you're now an experienced mushroom hunter? Like if I was like, I think I want to go mushroom hunting. Jeremy, could you make sure I don't die?
Yeah, probably.
Or on the flip side, you could kill me if you wanted to. Like, I'm done with this guy.
Well, thankfully, there's really only like one kind of like lethal mushroom that. Well, okay, take that back. There's a few lethal mushrooms that grow in Minnesota, but there's only one that you could maybe mistake for something else. Like most of the lethal ones are, you know, they look like the Alice in Wonderland mushroom or the Mario Brothers one. I guess it's like it has spots on the
and it wears shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, basically that, yeah.
So I think I've got a scope of your mushroom hunting prowess.
Sure.
So, being an obsessive person, how has this new obsession affected your life? Do you find, like, times are like, man, I should be working, but I gotta go hunt that mushroom?
Well, yeah. That happens. I think it's really weird because I think I'm a little more in shape than I used to be.
Are the mushrooms running away?
No, it's only because it's so hard to find mushrooms. Like, you have to walk forever in the forest, up hills and mountains and crossing streams and all of these, you know, leeches and, you know, like...
Leeches? Really?
No, not leeches, no. Ticks. I mean, there's plenty of ticks. But it's kind of this weird thing where it's so not me to be outside tromping around in the forest. Like, that's just really odd. But this is, like, one quirky thing that I can take advantage of my obsessive, you know, impulses regarding this.
And just sort of trick yourself into exercising.
Yeah, trick myself into, like, going out and doing something and feeling you know, outdoorsy.
Because I'm obsessive, but I can't trick myself into exercising. I try to make it palatable in different ways, you know.
Yeah, that's the only way I do it is if I can trick myself into doing it. I think the other thing that... the side effect of being obsessed with mushrooms is we eat a lot of mushrooms. So many mushrooms. Like, there was one time, but like the best find we had, I was out with my friend Peter, and we found like, I don't know, like 40 pounds of like chicken of the woods mushrooms.
Loaded
up in the back. They're still in my freezer. Like, they lasted all winter.
And what kind of mushrooms are they?
They grow on the sides of trees, and they're like bright orange, and they're like a shelf mushroom. So they're kind of layered like this.
Okay.
And they're really they're not like soft at all. So like they're called chicken of the woods because you fry them up and they taste an awful lot like chicken, oddly enough. So, yeah.
Okay.
Got a bunch of those.
So, trying to sum up your obsession with mushrooms, you like to eat them. Mm-hmm. You like to run after them.
Yeah.
Do you ever go mushroom hunting alone, or is this like something, a companion thing?
I do go mushroom hunting alone. It's usually more fun if you have someone else there,
right?
At least to talk to on the drive up and stuff is a lot nicer. But then, I don't know, it's nice being out in the woods by yourself too.
Yeah, it's peaceful. Yeah. Would you consider writing a mushroom hunting song? Have you?
No. I haven't.
I mean, I would love to hear the song, but more than anything, I want to see the video where it's like a sad mushroom hunting ballad, and it's just you walking through the woods looking and going, is that one? No.
No.
Sad.
Yeah. The funny thing is I was talking about, you know, being a musician, you always have to take, like, photographs and, you know, for magazines. Not like you have to.
Right.
But, you know, you want people to publish pictures of you, and the trick is finding something interesting that's not just... you know, me and my face. And so I had this idea. I was like, I want to do a picture, and I want to be surrounded by every kind of mushroom. Like 1,000 mushrooms just all around me.
So you got like a photo request from a magazine, and you're like, dudes, give me a week to find 1,000 mushrooms.
I'm still trying to figure out how I could possibly do it. I'm like, I don't know how you could grow that. I don't have any
idea. You
could
do it. You just need to find that many.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be really hard, but could be done. So if you see a picture of me like sprawled on like a bed of mushrooms or something, that's
that would be awesome. And then there'd be some mushrooms tastefully over your man parts.
I think so.
Tastefully.
Tastefully. Yeah.
Not tacky mushroom crotch coverage. No. We've seen enough of that in magazines. Okay, so I'd like to wrap up with some serious, pompous questions. Right. Unless there's anything else that you feel the world needs to know about mushroom hunting.
I don't know if there's anything the world needs to know. I think the reason I reason why I got into it was just because mushrooms are really, really weird. They're just really strange. They're odd, like
they're
not plants. They're not animals. They're like a whole separate branch. Like
they're fungus, right?
Yeah,
but we eat them.
Yeah, but we also have them living inside us. I just found out today.
We have mushrooms inside us.
We have a fungus that coexists with our gut bacteria to help us digest food.
It's technically a mushroom.
Yeah, fungus.
Oh, fungus. Okay.
So, you know, yeah, it's like half,
about the same.
There.
So probably pretty delicious.
Sure, yeah. Oh, it also will give you colitis. Sorry about that.
The stuff in your gut?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
The silent mushroom killers inside us. All right. I'm going to ask you some very serious, very important questions. If you could perform a musical duet with any animal, what animal would it be?
Oh, it would be a whale. A whale would be what I would want to sing, but not just any whale. There's one whale in particular.
A specific whale.
Yeah, there's one whale that scientists have been tracking since around 1999. And the thing that's weird about this whale is that it has a song that no other whale can hear.
Really?
Seriously, this is so weird. There's this. But it's a whale that scientists don't know what kind of whale it is. If it's like some, you know, like the last of its kind whale,
Or
if it's like a cross between
whale or
some incredibly hard to find. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. They don't know if it's a cross, but most whales' song is between 12 hertz and 25 hertz. The human hearing range is around 20 to 20,000 or so.
Wow.
But this whale sings at 50, and so it's constantly singing for all these other whales out there, but no other whales can hear it sing. But they know it's there because they have recordings of it.
You need to make a song of that, too, because I also want to see the video where you're swimming in a tank.
Totally.
Looking at one whale who can't hear the other whale.
The loneliest whale in the ocean.
A rock song by Jeremy Messersmith.
This is supposed to be funny, right? Sorry about that.
It's supposed to be what it is.
I had to bring the incurable sadness.
No. And, well, that's a good segue to our final question, which is, what is happiness?
Oh, well, I feel like if I say anything other than it's a warm gun, then I'm maybe not going to be doing it justice. But what is happiness? I think happiness is, the times that I feel most happy are usually the times when I'm doing something I love with people that I love. And that's really about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Messersmith.
Obsessed. Obsessed. Obsessed with Joseph Scrimshaw.